So there is Naranjana Swami, as a smartest first program actually at the Bhakti Center. Maharaj, thank you very much for coming out of your extremely busy schedule and to come and give us some time and your most valuable association. So we'll have some of your time now and some talk and then later there will be a good study for Sam. So thank you.
Thank you. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Kanam Janana Savakaya Chakshua Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Bhangam Bhangayate Gari Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guram Yena Tasmai Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nivashesha Sanyavari Vastachade Sushande Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Vaidhi Vidadhar Shri Vasa Yoga Bhakti Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpaturu Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyasya Patitana Bhavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo understanding that this evening we were going to have kirtan and that many of you like to have kirtan. So therefore I would like to dedicate most of this evening to kirtan. But it would also be beneficial for me if I were to speak a little bit about chanting. I would benefit because it helps me when I speak about chanting. It helps me to focus on what I'm trying to accomplished by chanting Hare Krishna. Many people may have different purposes they wish to fulfill by chanting. And whatever purpose one has, nonetheless the holy name of Krishna is a transcendental sound vibration. Prabhupada would sometimes give the example when speaking about the efficacy of the holy name. He would give the example just like a young child doesn't know that fire burns. But if a young child touches a fire, the fire doesn't discriminate. It doesn't think, this is a young child, I won't burn him. And Prabhupada says, no, if a child touches the fire, it will act. It will burn. In the same way, Krishna's name is Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigaha Punarshudho Nitya Mukto Binipanama Naminam. It is explained that the name of Krishna is non different from Krishna. Krishna and his name are eternally liberated. they are never coming under the influence of material nature. Krishna's name is the reservoir of all transcendental mellows. It bestows all spiritual benedictions. Just as Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, and Krishna is can give unlimited pleasure to his parts and parcels, to those who associate with him in loving devotion. In the same way, Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar Nama Haitai Jagat Savat Jagat Nistara. That in the age of Kali, Krishna has descended in his name, and anyone who associates with Krishna is as good as associating with Krishna directly, and certainly he becomes delivered. So, Kali, the current age, Kaliya Dosha Nidhe Raja Nastihi Kovahadgana, is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kaliya Dosha Nidhe, the age of Kali, is an ocean of bad qualities. But it has one good quality, that kirtanadeva krishnasya. That simply by chanting the names of Krishna, mukta sangha param bhajet, that one can achieve spiritual liberation, emancipation from this material tabernacle, freed from material designations, as it is also, Srila Prabhupada oftentimes quote the verse, Savo Padavinir Muktam Tat Paratvena Nirmala Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. That by rendering devotional service to Krishna, which in this age begins by chanting Krishna's name, then there are automatically two byproducts. And that is that Savapadu Vinir Muktam, that one becomes freed from external designations and one's senses become controlled. One great Vaishnava Acharya, he promoted Nanda Saraswati, he once described the senses to be like venomous serpents. He gave the example that the senses are just like the senses are always looking for an object to strike. Just as a serpent who has venom, has poison, if it strikes its object, then it will certainly have an impact on whoever it strikes with his venomous venom. But Prabodhananda Saraswati, in his prayer, he says that anyone who gets the merciful glance of Lord Chaitanya, then these venomous serpents of the senses become like serpents with broken fangs. They no longer have any poisonous effect. If a serpent has a broken fang, then they can't do any damage. Similarly, when the senses are engaged, Vishaya vinivartate niraharasya dehina rasavajam rasopyasya param jishtvar nivartate. As Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, the embodied soul may restrict himself from sense enjoyment, even though the taste for sense objects still remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he becomes fixed in his consciousness. So these are the two byproducts of engaged in being engaged in chanting Hare Krishna, is that one becomes free from designations, sava upadi designations, which we very much are accustomed to, and although we may understand theoretically that these external designations of American, Indian, European, Canadian, husband, wife, man, woman, animal. These are designations that have been temporarily accepted by one who has accepted a temporary physical body. But the self has a designation, Jivera Sudupoya Krishna Nichidas. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the constitutional position or designation of every living being is that he is an eternal servant of Krishna. When one realizes his capacity, propensity for rendering service to Krishna and experiences how that fulfillment becomes complete simply by chanting Hare Krishna, then the result is that the venomous serpents of the senses, they don't look for an object to strike. They become controlled. Prabhupada many times also used to quote one verse, Bhakti Parashanu Bhava Virapti Anyaisha Chaisatrika Eka Kala in Srimad Bhagavatam. Devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from material things. These three things come simultaneously for a person who is engaged in devotional service. Just as pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person who is engaged in eating. Example, very simple analogy. Everybody can relate to it because everybody knows what it's like to eat. It's an experience well within our frame of reference. And scriptures oftentimes utilize these analogies to help us bring experiences within our frame of reference so that we can more directly perceive that which may be difficult to understand by an experience that is more closer to our daily experience. By using analogies. I think last week I was giving the example in one lecture that Srila Prabhupada used analogies many times. He explained even the importance of using analogies by using an analogy. He gave the analogy that if you want to see, if you look at the sky at night and you want to see the movement of the moon, if you look directly at the moon, it's very difficult to see how it's moving. You stare for some time. There's no frame of reference. It's just there in the sky, and you have to stand there for a long, especially if it's this time of year. You have to stand outside for quite a while before you see the moon moving just by looking at the moon. He says, but if you want to see the moon move, then look at the moon through the branches of a tree. Because the branches are closer. And because they're closer, it's much easier to see how the moon is moving between one branch and the next. It doesn't take very long. So, because you have a frame of reference which is closer, therefore, it's easier to understand that which is far away. So this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam uses the example Bhakti Parashanu Bhava Varapya, devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from material things. These three things come simultaneously for a person who's engaged in devotional service. Just as pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person who's eating. So as we said, eating is an experience that everybody can relate to. And we can all experience that with each bite. If it tastes good, then we'll know it tastes good. We'll get some pleasure. Usually if you taste something very good and you have a lot of it in front of you, after the first bite, you want to take a second bite. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Natural. Yeah. So some pleasure is there. And especially if you haven't eaten for a long time. And then when you eat with each bite, you get some strength, some nourishment. And then, you're also, you see that your hunger is going away. It's directly experienced with each bite. You don't have to ask somebody, is my hunger going away? No. With each bite, you know, my hunger is going away. You're feeling some strength, there's some taste. So in the same way, devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from material things. This is how we know we're advancing in spiritual life. Just like Prabodhananda Saraswati says, the senses become like serpents with broken fangs. They no longer have a poisonous effect. And we know that when the objects of the senses are no longer difficult to deal with. The senses are not looking for an object to strike continuously. It's like the example is given of just like the tortoise withdraws its limbs within the shell, in the same way the yogi, he withdraws his senses and uses them only when needed. So in the same way, chanting Hare Krishna actually produces this kind of result. We want to see how I am advancing. Yes, chanting Hare Krishna is pleasurable. There's no doubt about it. Everybody can chant Hare Krishna. Everyone can derive some pleasure or satisfaction. But actually, the goal of chanting Bahu Janmar Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana, the goal of chanting Hare Krishna, one should understand what is the goal. One should know that, yes, chanting Hare Krishna is not just simply a means for getting pleasure, but actually, chanting Hare Krishna is a means for achieving spiritual perfection. As we said, Kirtana Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vajet. Kirtan is meant for giving us perfection. Kirtana Deva Krishna, Mukta Sangha Param, Param, the highest goal. Param Drishtvar Navartite, as we explained before. Param means the highest taste. That is, all can be achieved by chanting. And for one who knows what is the goal of this chanting, then he becomes very eager to chant in the proper state of consciousness. Although we gave the example, the young child will still be impacted in some way. Even if a child doesn't understand, still it will act. It will cleanse. It will purify the heart. Akama sabakama moksha kama udaradi ti vena bhakti yogina yajita purusha param. In the Srimad Bhagavatam is stated that whether one is filled with desires, whether one has no desires, whether one is desiring liberation, one who has broader intelligence must by all means, we must worship the Supreme Lord. And Sukadeva Goswami explains that etat nivijivanana ichchato akato vayam. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord is a doubtless and fearless way of success for everyone. Doubtless and fearless way of success for everyone. Whether one is filled with desires, has no desires, desiring liberation, such is the potency of the holy name of the Lord. But if we actually want to dedicate our life to chanting, putting chanting at the center of our life so that everything else becomes subsidiary to chanting, then Lord Chaitanya has given a state of consciousness that one must cultivate in order to be able to chant Hare Krishna constantly. Trinadapi sunichina tororapi suhishtana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari kirtaniya sadahari. Lord Chaitanya says that one can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street, the void of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Kirtaniya Sadharani. This is our goal. Anyone who has once come in contact with the holy name of the Lord, then he should understand that the holy name is like a Chintamani jewel, most valuable jewel. They can bestow, as we said, all spiritual benedictions upon anyone because it is Krishna himself. So we should not take the name as something that can give us some material benefit. One should not chant the name, the holy name of the Lord, with a desire for fame, for profit, for adoration, distinction. These things can come by chanting. It's a technical term given in the scripture. It's called Taranga Rangini. Taranga Rangini means that by engaging in chanting Hare Krishna, we can get certain kickbacks, benefits. You know, we can get some respect, recognition, maybe some personal profit. But these are all described as obstacles on the path of devotional service. They'll divert us from the actual goal of chanting if we're not careful. It is described as a symptom, one of the symptoms of anishtata bhakti, which means devotional service which is rendered without any conviction. One has to get past the stage of anishtata bhakti by coming to the stage of anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti means cheto dharpana majino, cleansing the heart of unwanted desires which are obstacles on the path of devotional service. These are technical terms, but they should be understood for anyone who actually really wants to dedicate himself to realizing the fruit, the goal of chanting. I think of the story touching Nanda Maharaj. I like this story. It tells a story about the chanting. Probably told it here, maybe. The story about the disciple who wanted confidential instructions from his spiritual master. There was a disciple who wanted to receive some very confidential instruction from his guru. And approached his spiritual master and begged him, please disclose to him something confidential that was not known to others. And based on the request of the disciple, the spiritual master decided to instruct his disciple about the details and of chanting Hare Krishna. Some of the confidential truths about chanting. So he explained to him about chanting and told them many of the deep confidential truths of what actually the chanting, the fruit that one can realize, that the holy name of Krishna can actually bring one to the lotus feet of Krishna, and if one chants in the proper consciousness and state of mind, then he gave all these instructions about chanting. So, feeling satisfied, the disciple left his guru's ashram with confidence that he had received some very confidential teachings from his guru, and meditated on the words, deeply on the words of his spiritual master. And perchance, as he was walking along in the village, he saw some washerwomen washing clothes.
And anyone who's been to India, I see that. Usually I go on Govardhan Parikram, and I always see it at Govindapur. It's a common place. You see the washerwomen. Usually you hear them beating the clothes against the stone. And sometimes they have a stone, and they use the stone for beating. So the women were beating the cloth, beating with the stone, and they were chanting Hare Krishna. So the student was thinking, this doesn't... I thought I got something confidential. But these simple village women are chanting Hare Krishna. How do they know about this? They didn't hear about it from my guru, did they? So he continued to walk. And as he came along the beach, he saw some fishermen pulling in their nets. And while they were pulling in the nets, they were chanting Hare Krishna. And this, of course, it was caused him to be taken aback, wondering again. He was thinking at this point maybe he should go back and ask, but he thought maybe it was just a quirk. He continued to walk. He saw some little boys playing, throwing a ball back and forth, and while they were playing, they were chanting Hare Krishna. He said, that's it. So he went back to the spiritual master's ashram. The spiritual master saw a very bewildered look on the face of his disciple and inquired from him, what is it? The disciple confidentially revealed, Guru Maharaj, I'm bewildered that you're giving me confidential teachings about chanting. And I saw these village women and these fishermen and children, and they were all chanting Hare Krishna. Can you please explain? You know. So, instead of giving an explanation, the spiritual master took a very valuable stone, touchstone, and gave it to his disciple and said, here, take this stone. And he explained the nature of the stone, its value, why it was valuable. He said, but simply take this stone and show it to them and see if you can get something of equal value in return, if they can appreciate the value of the stone. So the disciple went to the washerwomen, saw the same washerwomen washing clothes, and showed them the stone. The washerwomen immediately took the stone and decided to beat the clothes with it. And then the disciple said, these women don't appreciate the value of the stone. They're not going to give me anything in equal return. He went to the fishermen, showed the stone to the fishermen. The fishermen looked at the stone, and they were simple fishermen. They spent the whole day pulling in their nets. So they saw the stone, and they thought, well, we could use it as a weight. They tied it to the net, and they threw the nets up. No, give me that stone. And then he went to the little boys and showed the little boys the stone. The boys looked at the stone. They immediately started throwing it back and forth as if it was a ball, again playing with. So then the disciple went back to his spiritual master carrying the very valuable stone, and approached the spiritual master, and the spiritual master asked him, so, did they appreciate his value? Did they give you something of equal value in return for the stone? And then the disciple explained everything that happened. So the spiritual master then said to his disciples, similarly, many people may chant Hare Krishna, but they may be indifferent to chanting. So he used this example to teach his disciple that yes, chanting Hare Krishna, there is some benefit to chanting, but if one actually really wants to realize the fruit, the goal of chanting, one has to know the nature and the glories of the holy name of the Lord. And it's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one must know the truth and glory of the holy name of the Lord by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of Vaishnavas. There is no other way to taste the sweetness of Krishna's name. If one really wants to taste the sweetness, one really wants to realize the full impact that's available, and one really wants to engage in some sankalpa, some meditation, some proper meditation while chanting Hare Krishna, then one has to hear the nature of the glories of the holy name from Vaishnavas. And this way, gradually, the truths of the holy name gradually will reveal themselves, and one will be able to realize the fruit of chanting. So as we said, the goal of chanting is to chant more. Always chant. Kirtaniya Siddhahari. But I was actually going to read just one small thing. It's in this connection. I know I wasn't going to stop long, but I'm almost done. Yeah. Not long ago, I was looking through some quotes. I found quite a few of them. But in relationship to the holy name of the Lord, as we said, there's a certain quality in one's character that one actually has to try to cultivate and develop. Of course, it can automatically develop if one really sincerely dedicates himself to chanting. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavat kinchinchana samay. So I'm going to touch the samasate sura. Yes. Srila Prabhupada used to quote that verse many times. That all good qualities automatically become manifest to one who's engaged in devotional service. They automatically become manifest. But we can also help them along. So there's a certain quality of one's character that one should try to cultivate if one wishes to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. We already explained, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others, and never looking for respect for oneself. So there are many verses. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, chapter 10. A person who never blasphemes anyone and who chants Krishna, Krishna, easily conquers Lord Chaitanya, who is never conquered by anyone. All the scriptures declare, a person who blasphemes others will not attain the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches that one should respect everyone. This is a quality. One should learn how to respect everyone. Interesting. I just noticed this. I was talking to P.R.I. Mohan Prabhu today. In this connection, he was telling me a story. See if I can remember it. He's telling me a story about a conversation Tamal Krishna Maharaj had with Srila Prabhupada. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the difference between calling a spade, fault finding, and blasphemy? I wanted to know these three, asked Prabhupada. What is the difference? And Prabhupada said, he said, calling a spade, just like if I say to you, you are an insignificant fig. That is calling a spade. And what were the others? That was the first thing Prabhupada said. He said, you are insignificant. Now, insignificant as a fig. That's what it was. Insignificant as a fig. Of course, Prabhupada was... He knew that actually that if we want to advance in spiritual life, we have to become humble. And Prabhupada certainly helped. He could do it. So that was the first part of the answer. He said that that's calling a spade a spade. And he said, fault finding, he said, just like there are two types of animals. He said there are just there are flies that are immediately looking for some fault, and there are bees that are always looking to collect something good, collect honey. He said the fault finders, they're like the flies. They're just looking for some fault. And the blasphemer, he said, what is the blasphemer? The blasphemer, he says, even though there is all good qualities in a person, he says, I point out somebody's fault. That is blasphemy. So, Prabhupada, this is how he defined the difference between calling a spade, fault finding and blasphemy. Even though there's good qualities, I prefer to simply all good qualities. And there are many examples in the scripture of personalities at places like Haridas Thakur. Was it Ramachandra Khan? Ramachandra Puri was with Lord Chaitanya. Ramachandra Khan was with Haridas Thakur. Yeah. Ramachandra Khan, he wanted to get Haridas. Haridas Thakur had so much recognition because he was always absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna. The people would worship him. He was chanting constantly, all day and night, the holy name of the Lord, with such pleasure, with such ecstasy. And Ramachandra Khan couldn't tolerate, who is this? He's getting so much respect. So, he wanted to have Haridas Thakur caught with a prostitute. So he arranged for a prostitute to go and try to seduce him while he was chanting. And he was thinking in his mind that certainly Haridas Thakur will fall victim to this prostitute he selected. Because he was projecting. Well, of course he'll fall victim. Nobody could possibly avoid the allurements of this prostitute. So as we know the whole story, that, well, we may not know, but to make a story long story short, the prostitute went the first day, and Haridas Thakur was absorbed in his chanting, and Haridas Thakur said, just sit and wait. When I finish my chanting, certainly I will fulfill your desires. But he never stopped chanting. She got a little tired. She left, she came back the next night. The next night she came. Haridas Thakur suggested. And she offered obeisances, I think, to Tulsi, something like that. And she came and she sat down, and Haridas Thakur says, certainly I will fulfill your desire, just wait till I finish my prescribed number of rounds. Continued chanting all through the night. The prostitute left and told Ramachandra Khan, he is becoming very weak. Certainly tonight you come and bring everybody there, you'll see, you'll capture him and you'll see how he'll be caught red-handed. This is another good example of how the senses, venomous serpents of the senses, become like broken serpents with broken fangs. So anyways, the third night the prostitute came, and although the previous night she was mimicking Haridas Thakur in his chanting, waiting for him to finish, this particular night she began chanting, and she started chanting, and then tears came to her eyes, and she fell down at the feet of Haridas Thakur and begged forgiveness. She explained the whole plot, and she said as she understood his full glory, she had no interest whatsoever in fulfilling the wishes of Ramachandra Khan. And she asked how she could actually become fully dedicated to the holy name as Haridas Thakur had become. And she surrendered to him. And Haridas Thakur said, yes, I knew the power of the holy name. I knew simply if you continued to come that your life would be transformed. He said, otherwise I would have left this place the first night. But anyways, the point was Ramachandra Khan. Ramachandra Khan tried to find fault even a person who was faultless. There was no fault. So, anyways, he met with a very unfortunate fate due to his offense committed to a devotee of the Lord. So, one should, if one really wants to become fully dedicated to chanting as Haridas Thakur did, our Namacharya, Acharya of the Holy Name of the Lord, one should become this tolerant as Haridas Thakur was. He offered full respect even to the prostitute and converted her, made her a great Vaishnavi. Such a great Vaishnavi that she shaved her head, she sat in the same place, and she began chanting 300,000 names daily in that same place. And then people would come from all over to offer their respects to her because of her perfect example. So, we should try to cultivate these qualities and not blaspheme others, not criticize others, and to give respect to others, respect to everyone, and never looking for respect for oneself. And then one will be able to chant Hare Krishna constantly, and by the grace of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, in association with Vaishnavas who have fully realized the importance of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if we chant in their association, then certainly we will be able to realize the goal of this chanting in due course of time. This is a little bit and we can end here and have one more kirtan. I don't know what the schedule is. Or should we stop here?
No.
I don't know the schedule. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Life-giving kirtan. Thank you very much, Guruji, for coming. And it's your first probably near the Bhakti Center. I hope there will be more. We wish you all safe travels and that you may come back soon. So now we will take some cards. We serve in the lounge across the hallway. And you can come in here and sit and eat here also, because we don't have enough space for that. So thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.